the time has come for me to bring in my guy, Pat Ragazzo. Man, Pat reached out to me and real recognized real. We just had a lot in common. He's a Jersey guy. We both live in the same area, Hoboken, Jersey City. And, you know, once I learned his story and how he came up, you know, I just was like, man, this is somebody I'm definitely going to bring into my show. He's a writer. He covers the Mets and the Yankees. He's an actual reporter. I'm not a reporter. This guy writes articles. He's around the team. He's in the clubhouse. And now he's on the Fan. Pat, what up?
What's up, Keith? Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And that flattering message means a lot. So thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people reach out to me, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny because a lot of young kids just think like, hey, you got any hosting opportunities, or can I join you on the Fan? I'm like, what would that do for the audience? Pat, though, has a lot of insight and covers the team. So let's switch gears a bit. We'll come back around to the Yankees, but let's talk Mets as the Mets win that game, which I think is huge. It's a one-off, but it completes the sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. I'll give you a couple things that I saw. One, Sean Manaea right now, after coming off his best start, like, can we expect to see more of this out of Sean Manaea? 10 strikeouts, gave up 6 hits, but he went 7 innings. That's great. The tweak in the lineup, dropping Alonso a little bit, putting Tyrone Taylor there, makes Mendoza and Stearns look pretty smart. It worked. And having guys like Tyrone Taylor, like Harrison Bader, when you have a Starling Marte coming back and you have a Jeff McNeil that can also play in the outfield, these are good problems to have. What do you say about all of that and the make-it-happen Mets?
Well, yeah, I think starting with Manaea, he's now pitched 14 straight scoreless innings, 21 strikeouts, and he's coming off the best start as a Met and then his best start of the season against the Twins. And then followed it up today with a huge, much-needed victory for the Mets, leading them to the path of the W, because they really were kind of coming off a low and then had to go back to the Midwest to play the Cardinals for this one-off makeup game that was postponed in May due to a tornado watch. So this is really what the Mets needed, and Sean Manaea delivered once again for them today as they're fighting for a wild-card spot. Obviously, they have fallen out of it a little bit after holding on to a spot for the last couple weeks. But it's going to be interesting here. Now, they're fighting it out with the Padres and the Diamondbacks essentially for 2 spots, but the Braves are right there as well. And then, like you said, the lineup changes. Tyrone Taylor has good numbers against righties this year, significantly better numbers against righties than lefties. And that was Mendoza's reasoning for moving him up into the 2-hole, and it wound up paying off that he had the bases clearing double. But yeah, I mean, you can go back to the end of May when this season kind of turned around. Mendoza and Stearns wound up changing the lineup from having Nimmo in the leadoff spot. Wasn't working. He has been the team's leadoff hitter the last couple of years. They moved Lindor to the leadoff spot, and he's been red hot ever since. They've moved Nimmo. Nimmo's been obviously having a good year in the 2-hole since they moved him there in about 2 months ago. But they moved into the 3-hole today. J.D. Martinez was back in the cleanup spot, and Alonso was in the number 5-hole, which is a spot he hasn't batted in. He hasn't batted below cleanup since 2020, which was statistically the worst season of his career. I know it was the COVID-shortened season, but this Alonso's been having a bit of a rough go this year. So it worked out today, and it was a much-needed win for that bizarre one-off that they were forced to take to St. Louis, and now they have to go back to now the Rockies to face Colorado at Coors Field. So, yeah, I mean, so far, so good. It's not an easy stretch for the Mets here with the 10 games, 10 days, and 3 different time zones. But, yeah, today was definitely much needed.
Now, I've been telling everybody that the trade deadline is over. There's nothing we can do. Like, that's it. Like, the trade deadline was a week ago. Like, we're still talking about moves that weren't made. Like, just got to move on and move forward. But I actually looked at what David Stearns did, and I said, this guy's good at this. This guy was able to add to this team, you know, adding a Paul Blackburn as a starter, Jesse Winker, right? Didn't even mention him, as I just mentioned, Tyrone Taylor, Harrison Bader, Jeff McNeil, who can go to the outfield. Obviously, Nimmo in the outfield and Marte coming back. But then he also added a bunch of bullpen arms without giving up anything higher than his 17th prospect. Like, I think this is a crafty, smart guy who said, okay, yeah, you know, this team is competitive right now, but I'm not going to give up everything. I don't think that they're elite where, like, I got to go and give up top prospects to get the best of the best. but I can make some marginal moves again like he did in the offseason that could pay off, right? In the offseason, everybody was talking about how, oh, these are lottery tickets. Or really, I said, this is just a long leg parlay. And if all of these legs hit, you're in the money. What do you think about the moves that Stearns made at the deadline and how they'll help the Mets here as they chase this wild card spot? And obviously, you saw the Diamondbacks go for it, the Padres go for it, even the Braves add Jorge Soler. What did you think about his deadline?
I think David Stearns stayed true to what the offseason blueprint was, and this wasn't going to be an all-in year for the Mets after they operated that way in the previous 2 years before Stearns arrived in the president of baseball operations position. So, yeah, I mean, they did draw interest from a number of their top prospects. Stearns said that they had teams asking multiple times persistently about the availability of their top prospects, including Brett Beatty, who we just learned through Mike Puma of the New York Post that the Marlins were one of the teams that were calling about Brett Beatty, as were other clubs. So the Mets decided that they're not going to give up on Beatty just yet. They're not going to sell the farm. And as you mentioned, the highest prospect they gave up was number 17 in Tyler Stewart, who was a double-A starter. So, yeah, I think it was just all about staying consistent, and that's what the Mets did, and they were still able to stick to that blueprint and then also improve the club with getting Brazoban and bringing in Ryan Stanek, Phil Maton, Jesse Winker, and talking about having a good problem, now having a deeper outfield with Starling Marte progressing towards a return, and Jeff McNeil's been heating up since the second half began. So, yeah, the Mets were able to improve around the margins while not selling the farm, and they have a pretty good shot now at pushing for a postseason spot come October.
We're on the phone right now with my guy, Pat Ragazzo, straight out of Jersey. He covers the Mets and the Yankees for Sports Illustrated. Pat, next thing I got to say is, looking at this schedule, right, when I came in, I told Mets fans, I told Yankee fans, I told anybody that could hear, we got to chill, we got to pump the brakes, right? Some people proclaimed that the NL wild card was over. Then others proclaimed that was a jinx, and now the season is over. But when I look at this Mets team, they've split a bunch of series. They've dropped 2 out of 3 to other teams. It doesn't matter if it's the Angels. It doesn't matter if it's a great team. The only good team that they've dominated this year is the New York Yankees. So when I look at this schedule coming up, I'm like, wait, this is it right here. Obviously, you have the Colorado Rockies. You would like to see them sweep the Rockies, but they didn't even sweep the Rockies in their building. Maybe they only take 2 out of 3. That'll be fine. The Mariners have gone for it, trading for Justin Turner, Randy Arozarena at the deadline. They're not going to be a pushover. But then that next stretch coming up is crucial. I mean, the Oakland Athletics coming to Citi Field, you got to take that series. You got to take the series from the Marlins as well, and you should be in good shape. But let's focus on the road trip here. What do you expect to see them do against a team like the Rockies, which like is at the bottom of the league, and then a team like the Mariners, who are right in the hunt to win their division or be a wild card team in the American League?
Now, it is a challenge for the Mets that they started on the West Coast on this road trip. They dropped 2 of 3 to the lowly Angels, which was not how they wanted to start things off. Had to go to the Midwest to make up that game today against the Cardinals and got a big win. And now they have to go back to Colorado and face the Rockies, and as you said, they weren't able to pull off the sweep at home the last time these two teams played. So obviously it's a must win series win in Colorado to at least take 2 of 3, and then you do go to Seattle and you face a Mariners team that was very aggressive at the deadline after squandering away their division lead in the AL West. So I think they need to at least go 3-3 and the rest of this trip, and then head home. And the schedule does get a little easier when they have to play the Oakland Athletics at Citi Field once they return home, and the Marlins, who are a team who they should take a series from, but they did split coming out of the All-Star break. And the Marlins have been far from a pushover throughout the team's history of this matchup between the Mets and Marlins. The Marlins always give the Mets fits. So it's really just kind of taking it one series at a time, but they do need to probably break at least .500 the rest of this road trip with 6 games remaining between the Mets and Rockies and Mets and Mariners.
You got Severino, Blackburn, Peterson pitching out there in the Rocky Mountains. This is the series where your lineup has to get back to hitting home runs, driving in runs, double-digit hits, double-digit runs And I think this is a great opportunity to do that before you face the Mariners, who could be tough. Again, this is Pat Ragazzo on with me. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. If you go to my Twitter, I retweeted his tweet. But if you don't want to follow me and go there, just go to at Ragazzo, RagazzoReport. Support a Hoboken guy. This next question for you before we transition into the Yankees is about core guys on the team like Jeff McNeil, who everybody was already done with, writing him off, trade him at the deadline. Stearns doesn't do that. I don't think there was much of a market for him with that contract, whatever. But he's made a complete 180, a huge turnaround. And I feel like Pete Alonso can do the same thing. I'm not exactly sure when. Maybe it happens in Colorado. Maybe it happens in Seattle. But how do you feel about these core guys, what they mean to that clubhouse, that organization, and all the talk about trade Pete Alonso. Even now, people are like, oh, now we're not going to get anything for him. What do you feel about trading Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, now that it didn't happen, and what the prospects are for them in the future this season and next season and beyond with the Mets?
Well, I think if the Mets are going to get to where they want to go this season, it's going to be behind core guys like Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil. And McNeil, we've seen a total 180 from his season. He looked finished. It looked like he was on the verge of getting replaced. Jose Iglesias came up in May, and he's been a huge spark plug for this team. Sauli Marte being on the injured list obviously opened up some playing time in right field for Jeff McNeil. And he's also been continuing to see time at second base as well. So, again, the Mets are going to need McNeil to keep up this hot streak, and Alonso's got to get back on track because this isn't a career norm season for him. He's has an OPS of 790, and for his career, he has an 859 OPS, and he only has 23 home runs after hitting 46 a season ago. He's on pace to finish in the low 30s in home runs, which would be a career low, but he's still Pete Alonso, and there is a strong possibility that he could figure things out. It's really been struggles with hitting with runners in scoring position this year that has hurt him and kind of led to the lineup change today, even though Mendoza spoke and said part of it was due to Tyrone Taylor's numbers against righties and just trying to shake things up a little bit, given the struggles that they've had. Because in the past few weeks, since mid-July, only the Chicago White Sox, who are 60 games under 500, have a worse slash line with runners in scoring position than the Mets. So I think moving forward, Pete Alonso needs to get hot heading into free agency. This is a contract year. He's not having a bad year, but at the same time, he's not having his usual star level season that he puts up with the Mets, where he's hitting over 40 home runs a season and driving in close to 100 RBIs or more, and has the OPS well over 800. So Alonso and McNeil being huge cornerstones for the Mets is super crucial down the stretch. And then in the offseason, McNeil's still under contract for a couple of years. His trade value, even if he finishes strong, maybe it raises his trade value a little bit. But Alonso's made it clear that he wants to stay with the Mets long term. The Mets have indicated that they would like to keep him long term. So, yeah, I think that a strong finish here down the stretch is pivotal for both sides.
Yeah, the way I see it, they're here. They're on your team. They've been here through different iterations of your team. If this is a postseason team, why not just root for these guys? They could come up clutch. They could have big moments down the stretch or in October that are remembered forever. I just think the same thing applies to the Yankees, right? What I said this week after the deadline was, listen, as much as we hate on Gleyber Torres, DJ LeMahieu, Clay Holmes, they play for our team. We have to root for them. We want to see them succeed. I never show up to Yankee Stadium to boo the Yankees. Like, I want them all to be successful. And those are guys also that didn't get traded or didn't, you know, lose their jobs at the trade deadline. They're all still active and playing, but they scare me. There are so many different things with the Yankees that scare me. If you had to put your finger on one weakness or one hole that's going to stop the New York Yankees from getting back to the World Series this year, what do you think that would be?
I think it's two things. We've seen the lineup look very top-heavy this year beyond Judge and Soto. And Giancarlo Stanton made a huge impact out of the cleanup spot leading up until he strained his hamstring in late June. And it was a big loss. And the Yankees have 50 wins when Stanton's in the lineup. But he's kind of yet to get going since he came back from the IL last Monday. But they need his bat. They need the lineup to get production from guys such as Anthony Volpe, who's turned his season back around since the All-Star break ended, and Aaron Boone moved him back down in the order. It seems to have taken some pressure off of him, and Austin Wells has really stepped up offensively since Jose Trevino went down with the calf injury. So, yeah, I think lineup consistency and support to Judge and Soto, as well as bullpen, are going to be the two keys for the Yankees, because Mark Leiter Jr. is one of the best swing and miss relievers in the game, and that's what the Yankees needed. I feel that they probably should have went out and gotten a little more aggressive for maybe another late inning arm in that bullpen, but time will tell whether it was enough and whether Brian Cashman did enough in a year where there was probably too many holes to fill everything at one deadline. But they did bring guys in like Jazz Chisholm, who's really been a spark as well since they brought him in. And just kind of having that energy and that attitude that he's brought, where he's never played third base at the major league level, and he's kind of taken to it, the small sample size, but he's looked pretty natural there so far, and just kind of shown that, hey, even though he's a guy who he's had some level of stardom and success in his career, he's coming to a new team, and he looks like he's gotten with the program, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win. So, yeah, I think that just the lineup consistency, and if the Yankees can prove Luis Severino wrong, I know everyone's been talking about that since he took that little shot at his former teammates about the Yankees having two good hitters. That obviously the lineup's going to be big, and the bullpen down the stretch here to see if the Yankees can make a serious push in October this year.
Yeah, I mean, actually now we have seen DJ LeMahieu, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, Ben Rice, some other guys contribute, Jazz Chisholm, where it's not just two good hitters. But you know what, man, you made me think of something, and I got to say this before we move on to the last thing. Every single year when we watch the World Series, the team that wins it, they have guys play important roles that they went for at the deadline, whether it was the Rangers realizing they needed starting pitching, so they add Jordan Montgomery and Max Scherzer, and even adding Aroldis Chapman last year. It just always plays like Jorge Soler and Jock Peterson with the Braves, or go back, Ben Zobrist. So with the Yankees, it's either going to be Jazz and Mark Leiter that have huge moments in October, or you're going to be like some of the other teams that come up short, and they're kind of kicking themselves for not addressing issues at the deadline, the last chance that they had. Okay, last question. With the Yankees here, something I'm worried about as well, talking about the trade deadline and them not going for it, I'm worried about this rotation. I just don't think they have it. And it's funny because usually the pitching will figure itself out. Usually the pitching is there and the hitting is not. This year with Juan Soto and a Jazz, I think those guys are primetime players. I think they'll be ready. I think Aaron Judge also is just waiting to prove that he can do it in the postseason if they pitch to him. So I'm not as worried about the lineup too, because they have options. Like, they can put a Verdugo on the bench, win the game yesterday. Trent Grisham has had some pop and some clutch moments. DJ coming back around. I think they're going to have enough hitters, especially with Jason Dominguez coming back. But what worries me here, Pat, is that Gerrit Cole is not Gerrit Cole. That Gerrit Cole, I hope he is by October returns, and he's Cy Young Gerrit Cole and looks like he's looked in the past, but like, I literally see them throwing Carlos Rodon because of his contract in the postseason and him melting. Luis Gil is a rookie coming back from Tommy John. Yeah, he's looked, he bounced back from the trouble that he had, but like, how much can you bank on a rookie coming back from Tommy John in October? This is the most he's ever pitched in his life. Marcus Stroman hasn't been good, and Nestor Cortez hasn't been good. Where, like, I don't want to see those guys take the ball in October. Like, the game could be over in the first couple innings. So what do? They only have Clark Schmidt coming back to the rotation and maybe calling up Will Warren, but those aren't answers for October either. How do you see this Yankees rotation being able to get them all the way to the World Series and win it? It's just, I don't know. They have to be a lot different than they've been over the last couple months.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, Marcus Stroman struggled more than anyone would have expected in his recent stretch. Last seven starts, he has a 6.82 ERA. And you mentioned Gerrit Cole and the concern there that he missed so much time this year with an elbow injury. It looks like he's still going through a little bit of spring training, and he dealt with fatigue and had to have his last start bumped back to Sunday. And I think it was a promising sign that Cole was able to gut through 5 2/3 on Sunday, only gave up two runs. He only had the four strikeouts, but at the same time gave the Yankees a chance to win, and they wound up pulling out the series victory. So, yeah, it's just a matter of Ken Cole kind of come into his own and get brought up to speed after missing pretty much half the season. Because, again, we talked about the Yankees lineup and the bullpen having to do their part, and guys in the bottom of the Yankees order and contributors having to complement the stars in the lineup. But you're right, the rotation needs to get back on track because they are going to be relying on guys like Cole, who's their ace, the reigning Cy Young in the AL, and Carlos Rodon, who has the $162 million contract. Now, his last four starts have been promising, I would say. I know he's really had a rough go since June, but at the same time, he is a guy with a proven track record and someone who they're paying to be one of their top guys in the rotation. So it's just a matter of, can Garrett Cole get back on track, and can Rodon kind of build off the last four starts or so, and Marcus Stroman re-find his footing down here in the next couple of months? Because you're spot on when you say Luis Gil is a rookie. He's already set his career high in professional innings, and maybe he could be a weapon in the bullpen in come October, because you do have to worry about his innings, because he's a guy who, he's coming off Tommy John surgery, and he's already set his career high, and he's going to continue to shatter that mark down the stretch, because it doesn't seem like there's any plans to take him out of the rotation, because he's all of a sudden, once again, he is probably their best starting pitcher right now in the rotation. So it's just a matter of Cole being Cole, Rodon being Rodon, and Stroman being Stroman, and that's really what the Yankees are going to have to go with, considering they weren't able to pull off a trade for Jack Flaherty at the deadline.
You mean to tell me we got to rely on these guys actually doing what they're paid millions to do? That's all I got, Pat. You're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks a lot for having me, Keith.